Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Good morning again on Circles of Change. I can't believe we're at November 10th, and I'm already making my list for Thanksgiving shopping. So it's a good thing we've got as our guest here, Lisa Rehurick, Miss Simplicity, based here in Tucson. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you.
Great. Let me give an introduction. She's a speaker, trainer, business mentor, and the 2009 founder of Miss Simplicity, and also the creator of the SIMPLE, Simple Productivity System. Lisa is on a mission to help entrepreneurs and professionals learn how to focus on the most valuable aspects of their life and business via prioritization, systemization, and monetization. Ooh, I like that. The fact there's money involved. And so be bold enough to make the necessary changes in our lives to maximize our time and energy. Lisa is particularly passionate about helping women leave the fulfilling lives of their dreams, not the dreams of other people, believing in all possibilities to cultivate abundance both in business and in our personal lives. So earning a bachelor's degree in hotel restaurant management with an emphasis on marketing, Lisa has over 25 years of experience in starting several successful businesses, rescuing several troubled ones, project managing multi-million dollar projects in the health services and the HR field, designing and implementing business operations and processes, and then implementing marketing and business development strategies. So she has many years of experience also as an event planner, including 10 years leading the silent auction for one of Arizona's largest charities. So, boy, you're a lady after my own dreams. And if my brothers are listening on, they're going to say, oh, great, we get to hear about more organization stuff, because being a firstborn child, that kind of comes in my bloodline. But you're actually a secondborn. So how'd this happen?
I am. You know, it's interesting, too, when I take those personality tests.
Yeah.
I always test pretty low on that one personality, which is organization and detail. So I think in my life as an event planner and in my corporate career, I just learned how to do that and do that really well. And I come from a perfectionist family and a very detail-oriented family, and so that's a learned trait for sure, not something I was born with.
Well, I think my guess is you can be born with that trait, which is what my assessment technique would tell you, the system for identifying motivated abilities. However, if you're at all competitive, which I have a hunch you might be.
Just a little bit.
Just a smidge. That you're going to go do what, you're going to get what you need to do.
Yes.
You're going to get what you need to get to be able to do what you need to do.
Yes.
So to be successful in the business world, or also to survive being in a family of perfectionists, that you on your own adopted your own techniques and skills to kind of almost trick yourself into enjoying organizing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And you know, to be successful in business, you absolutely have to have control of organization and your time and the productivity puzzle, or you're just never going to get there. So.
Or have a squadron of people that you are comfortable enough delegating to let them push you around.
Yeah, absolutely.
And guard your time.
That's very true.
But, you know, we don't have that possibility in this day and age. I mean, like I mentioned in the show introduction, last week we had these two talented software development engineers from Silicon Valley, and they've come up with an app called Crazy Busy. And I mean, you know, there isn't, people now smush that, those two words. I'm not crazy and busy. I'm crazy busy.
Crazy busy. Yes.
And again, that can really get in the way of then really focusing, slowing down. And I'm sure you're going to tell us, do the right thing.
Yeah. You know, one of the biggest challenges is, you know, and it's funny, we were just talking about this on the previous segment with Mark, is slowing down long enough to just, you know, take a breath and think about what's important instead of just doing everything that everybody is telling you you need to do or everybody's asking you to do. You have to slow down and take a breath and realize what's important, and then figure out how to focus your time and your energy on the right things. That is simple, but it's really hard to do.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, particularly there's this social expectation that if you aren't a good multitasker, then you probably can't cope with XYZ.
Right.
And in some regard, multitasking is a manifestation of, you know, adult deficit disorder.
It is. It is. And, you know, let's face it, we're all going to multitask at some point. We have to in this busy world. But it's not the best thing to do. It's not the healthiest thing to do. And so where you can, again, getting back to that word focus, you can get so much more done if you can spend 15 minutes on one thing and not multitask. And getting people to wrap their brains around that and to really just take the time to do that is really hard, but it's going to change your life.
I think the other one that we have a partner here on the show, Lynn Moran from Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center, and she always puts up the sign that says, Ohio, only handle it once.
Yes.
And how many times we sit there and move the piles of stuff from one side to the other side.
Yep. And that's generally a sign of procrastination. You know, we're procrastinating, and that's generally a sign.
No, I'm saving the good stuff later. It's like, you know, you eat the carrots last.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. You're true. You're ducking it.
Yeah, and you're ducking it for a reason, because you either don't know what to do with it, or you're afraid of it, or there's something that we spend twice as long on something, sometimes up to three times as long on something, when we procrastinate it. So.
Well, now, there's those of us that would say, but I don't get my blood going at the right pitch in my creativity until I'm right to the wire. So just think of how much time I saved by doing it just in time. See, we can go on here.
We can justify that.
That's an aberration.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I get your point. I get your point. Well, tell us, S-I-M-P-L-E.
Yes.
Simple. What do those stand for?
So the S stands for shifting your mindset. So it all really starts with what you tell yourself about time and how you manage that. The I stands for identifying priorities. And so you need to know what's important. Back to that previous comment, you know, what are you working towards? The M is then managing to those priorities, and that means getting rid of all that other clutter around you and focusing, again, that word focusing on those priorities that you've set. P is for planning, which for so many people is a four-letter bad word.
Exactly.
But planning is so important. The L is for leverage, and that's leveraging other people and resources and information. We live in this amazing world today where you can find information anywhere, and you can find resources anywhere, and people need to leverage that more. And then the E stands for execute.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, part of that leveraging challenge comes down to getting too much information that really isn't transportable into knowledge and into action. So it still takes that sense, that wisdom, leveraging others, as you would say, to make sure it's really something that can be a guiding light.
Absolutely. You for sure have to know kind of what you're going after, and I don't recommend going out to the internet and stealing somebody else's material by any means, but if you use it to support your stance or what you're working on, it's a beautiful thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I know some of our listeners are probably saying, well, yeah, right, Lisa and Zara, I can do all this for me, but can you tell my boss to allow this to happen for me or my kids? So part of this also comes to not just managing yourself, although I'm guessing, I know you're going to say, but that's where you have to start, but then how that aura about you can kind of shield back some of the things that otherwise would be trying to get to you.
Yeah, and when you have a boss and you've got superiors above you, there is a really big key to managing up and managing their expectations. And when we talk about priorities, you have to take into account their priorities as well. And that is a perfect word, in partnership. So it's a little bit different if you're a professional in a corporate environment versus an entrepreneur and you've got your own business. There's a very big difference there with how you manage that. But managing up is a very big talent, and you need to learn how to do that well.
Yes, or as I say, not only managing up, but learning to become the master of the flare, which means how do you shoot one off to the right so he or she who is bothering you has to go work on that in a productive way so you can get off on the simple priorities you've set for yourself.
That's fantastic.
Well, you've got a webinar coming up this Thursday, November 15th, so tell people about that.
I'm really excited about this. This is the first time I've actually done something around the holidays, and this is all about how to organize your time and start planning ahead of time so that you're not crazed and stressed, and so you don't get to the point where you don't enjoy the holidays. You know, the holidays are the most festive time of the year. And so on this 1-hour webinar, it's a free webinar, I'm going to talk about how to get started planning your everything that you have to do. You know, we're so busy, and then all of a sudden we get this time of year where we have to add all of these new tasks to our to-do list.
And funny about this is, though, this isn't new. We go through this cycle
every year.
But
I know.
Yet we kind of don't learn from one to the next.
No.
That maybe, although every now and then you find, you meet someone who sends out their holiday cards at Thanksgiving,
right,
and you want to kill them. It's like, how did they drill this off? Man, is the peer pressure there.
That's
when you step back and say, you know, I'm not even going to send cards this year, so there.
Yeah, I'll send them at New Year's, or I'll send Valentine's cards.
Day, yeah, I did that one year, and everybody laughed. They said, boy, was that ever a scam. I said, well, you enjoy it. Everybody read it, at least, right?
That's true. That's
so how can people, if I understand, they can go to your website. It's miss-simplicity.com /keep-your-holiday-sanity.
Yes, I actually have a simpler website that they can go to. It's holidaysanitywebinar.com.
Ooh, I like that, holiday seminar webinar.
holidaysanitywebinar.com, and you can sign up there. And again, it's a free webinar. It's on Thursday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And if you can't attend the live webinar, there will be a replay link sent out. So if they go ahead and sign up now, then the replay link will be sent out to everybody.
Yes, and in fact, Lisa's site in general is www.miss-simplicity.com. So give us a few hints on what we might hear about planning.
We're going to talk about planning, and I'm going to make it very simple. So, again, that's just such a scary word for people, and they think, you know, elaborate systems and elaborate planning. And I'm going to make it really simple for people, and we're going to lay out a plan for how to just know what you need to get done and then know where you need some help. And that's kind of a big thing, is everybody, especially women, we think we have to do everything ourselves. And so we're going to talk a lot about how to outsource some things, or how to let go of some things that don't need to be done, and also how to just ask for help from other people.
Wow. You mean, Lisa, you're going to help me put thing on a list and maybe cross it off because it's not essential. Yeah, I'm one of those kind of people that actually adds things to my list, even though I've already gotten them done, just so I can have the pleasure of showing them crossed off. So that's the trick, right? To get you some sort of personal satisfaction.
For those of you just
turned in, we're speaking with Lisa Rehurick, and her organization, her company she founded in 2009, is called Miss Simplicity, and she has her simple productivity system that I know you use in coaching individuals, plus you're on the speakers tour.
Yes.
So what's it look like when an audience enjoys getting this information?
There's a lot of aha moments, which is really exciting for me, where their face looks a little blank for a couple of minutes, and then they kind of start nodding, and they start writing feverishly, and they get a big smile on their face, and that's so rewarding to me, because, again, it doesn't have to be complicated. My approach is to help make it more simple for everybody, so that everybody can do this. It's just that we get so stuck in our heads, and we kind of get in that riptide where we feel like we just can't get control. So that moment where they feel like, oh, I think I can actually do this, I'm going to be okay.
Well, the other piece of it is look at how history will repeat itself, meaning you got through one, you're going to get through multiple others.
Yes.
However, when you stand in front of that wall called Plan for Thanksgiving, segues into Christmas, Hanukkah, you know, the whole program, it's sort of like, oh my, it's coming at me really fast and furious.
It really is.
Well, your techniques and this mindset and thought process, was this inspired by someone who helped you, or was this kind of a reflection of your own trial and error over the years?
You know, it was absolutely a reflection of my own trial and error. I left the corporate world and started some businesses with a colleague, and you know, the entrepreneurial space is just completely different, mm-hmm. and I had no idea. And as good as I am at all of this time management, prioritization, focus, I couldn't get control of it. We had 4 businesses. We were all over the place.
Oh, wait a second. So, yeah, it wasn't like we just did one business. It's, well, we're at it. Let's add another one.
And another.
You were doing 4. So that's the context. 4 businesses at the same time.
4 businesses at the same time. Mm-hmm. And 3 of them.
Overachiever radar, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, 3 of them were startups and 1 was a mess. So it was tough. And when I decided to leave there and start my own business, I thought, man, I don't want to get in that situation again. I don't want to feel, I was working 80 hours a week and I just wasn't getting things done. And I had never stopped to think about, what do I actually need to get done for the most important thing, which is to bring money into the business, because that's what we're in business for, really, is you got to make money in order to keep the lights on. So,
and the biggest challenge for a lot of people that step into the entrepreneurial, whether it be to start something up or acquire something, mm-hmm. and particularly those who are problem solvers, the idea of acquiring a mess is very tantalizing.
Yes.
You know, that's like, well, I can fix this one. I mean, my whole corporate life was fixed, you know, based on fixing messes. And so in some regard, you read all the books or you listen to the conventional wisdom that says, well, you know, it's going to take 2 or 3 years to start it up anyways and lose, you know, you're going to lose money. I mean, automatically these voices in your head, like we referred to with Mark. But, you know, that's not a good way to start, particularly if you're at all in an economic downturn.
Right, right. It's not. It's pretty tough. And it's fun, but it was really tough. And that company actually ended up dissolving. We never did. We got it up and running. We got it making some money. But then, you know, once we got it there, the partners had just decided that was not where they wanted to be anymore. So, yeah.
Well, I read in the introduction that, of course, you know, you've had restaurant and hotel management expertise, which is all about critical path planning,
yes.
and events and appeasing those pesky customers who might not like the towels and the sheets or the candles that you selected, right?
Yes.
And then also, though, flip that into this whole project management side, and in particular in the field of HR, where there's the rules are changing while you're trying to live within them.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see where, you know, my question would be is, so Lisa, what of your principles do you wish you'd known then that you know now? Because if you think about how perhaps better equipped you could have been back then.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you'd known to see it even.
For sure. And I think that certainly back in my hotel days, because the interesting thing about the hotel restaurant world is that everything is on a shoestring budget.
Right.
So
right.
It's very different from then when I got into the project management, where the money was much more abundant. But just to know, again, how to stop and assess what's important, like what is really going to drive you forward toward what your ultimate mission is. And that's different for every different job that you do. And so when you understand what you're driving towards, then taking that time to take a deep breath and focus on what is going to get you a step forward toward that goal. And that, you know, again, I think in my early days, I was just running around doing everything that everybody else wanted me to do, that everybody else told me mm-hmm. to do, and I never really thought about it from what do I feel is the most important thing that needs to get done next.
And part of that is from experience. You
absolutely.
Don't know, right?
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
know. But also, as you said earlier, that women in particular have a tendency to need to please more than men.
I yes.
mean,
guys,
the research will bear out, so stick with me on this one, okay? I'm not attacking you. And this is spoken by someone who has spent her career in male-dominated industries, which is fine. I loved it. So keeping in mind that desired outcome, it's so clear, or reminding yourself of it,
yes.
particularly when you have to deal with disappointments and you
yes.
say, but wait a minute, in the bigger scheme of things, that's not tied to the actual mission of what we're all about here.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when everybody else's agendas are coming at you and you're just doing things because you think you're supposed to. And, you know, I also don't want to, you know, offend anybody here, but it is the studies will show that women, we are nurturing. We want to say yes to everything. And it's not just about our need to do everything. It is our need to be everything, and letting go of some of that, what we think we need to be in addition to what we need to do, is really important for everybody, but particularly for women.
Yeah, that we find that. Well, I've mentioned also in the introduction, you learn by trial by fire and having done this in the business sense, but also your commitment to doing event planning for a charity.
Mm-hmm.
So the additional nuance you have there is that the staff that you had or the team that you had are all volunteers.
Yes.
So that's a whole other game in itself, isn't it?
It is a whole other game in itself. And it's, you know, they're there because they want to serve. They're there because they're excited about the mission of the charity, but they're not necessarily there because they're good at what needs to get done. And so managing that is a whole new ball of wax. And what's most important there is to have the processes in place and the systems in place so that everybody knows exactly what to do, and there's no room for error.
Mm-hmm. But, which also, though, certain types of volunteers will come in, though, and say, oh, but I could improve that process so much, or let me help you there. And that's another challenge as well. So how do you redirect their energy in such a way that it still can benefit, or try to catch those ideas for the next time you do it?
Yeah, you know, I love that, actually, when they come in with ideas, because we do kind of get stuck in our own heads, and we think that this is the only way that it can be done because it's my way. And so I do love those ideas, and I usually table them, and I consider them for the next year, because we are always on a time crunch. We are always just running to get it all done, as with everything in life, right? But mm-hmm. we're trying to get it done in a short amount of time, and so you don't have time to stop at that point and change your process. But I take it into account for the following year.
So, simple. Shift your mindset. I, identify priorities. M, manage to those priorities and get rid of the clutter. Yeah. Okay, I better stop on that one. So, how do I really get rid of that clutter? If it's somebody else's clutter they've handed me.
You know, one of my favorite things about this is teaching the concept of saying no and letting it go. And this goes back to stuff that we've just been talking about, is, again, learning what is going to propel you forward toward your mission.
Yeah.
And everything else you need to start saying no to. And some, that's really hard for people. And so we start slow with, you know, don't say yes right away. At least say, you know what, I need to think about that.
Right.
I've got a lot on my plate right now, and I just need to see where this is going to fit. And that is the first step to getting to the no.
Which, of course, I'm sitting back there saying, stalling, can't make a decision, stalling.
Yeah.
No, truly, it is a pushback. The other piece of it is, many times it you can say, no, not now.
Yes.
And that there is a way I can accommodate your desire, but let's look at the bigger scheme of things of what I'm juggling, and let me help you understand when I could get to it.
That's a great point.
Okay, now
great
again, point. Someone's listening is, yeah, but Zara, I can't do that to my boss or to my peers on a big team. And I'm saying, if you can't, you're in bigger trouble than you thought you were. The more important thing is to say, no, not now. However, would you like to help me rearrange any of these other priorities or the other 35 things you've asked me to do, where does this one fit in the list?
Yeah, that's a really good point. When you're dealing with a boss situation, you know, communicating to him or her why you can't get it done now is really important, because they don't know what you've got on your plate. They forget what you've got on your plate. So that's really important. And, you know, when you say not now, honestly, people are no. Even when you say no, people really respect you more than you think they do.
Well, particularly if you say yes, and then you can't make a commitment.
Right.
And you don't live through it.
And everything falls through. Right.
So for you teens that are listening in, we're giving all sorts of tips on how to manage your parents.
Yes.
On clean up your room, dear, or I need you to go run this errand for me. Well, no, Mom, not now, but I could fit it in here.
Yes, but you better have a good reason to back that up.
That's true.
What's
yeah,
the list
okay,
of things? I've got a lot of homework, so I can't do it right now.
Oh, that one, yeah. We use that one a lot.
Exactly. Yes,
which
exactly.
We respect, of course. Lisa, you've been in business now doing your Miss Simplicity role for 3 years, although I have a hunch you were doing Miss Simplicity a long time before.
Yes.
That, kind of test driving it. Where do you think this has all taken you? I mean, what's the next chapter? How's this going to unfold for you? Or how do you see or feel it going forward now?
So I really, in 2013, am going to be speaking a lot more. So I'm looking forward to, from a national standpoint, being on some additional stages and reaching a more national, international audience. And so I have a lot of group training programs that are virtual, and I love getting people in from other countries and other, you know, states across the nation. And so I really look forward to that building up, because I would love to share my philosophies and my teachings that I think are very simple and very different from what other people teach to everybody, not just here locally in Arizona.
Sure. I think also the market for this, to do gift this to middle school students, all the way up to those who are planning their encore career.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, this really transcends, you know, background, culture, age, etc. And boy, the way we can teach this, the sooner we can get these principles, although there's, like we said earlier, trial and error will teach you what you're good or not good at, or how you need a partner to help you through that.
It is true. Asking for help, you know, collaborating with other people, getting a partner. I love your comment about getting to people early in their lives, because it is something that can be learned, as I'm a testament of, and it's going to help you in every aspect of your life if you just understand the basic principles and feel empowered yourself to really make the decisions that are right for you, which will ultimately be right for everybody else around you.
We've been speaking with Lisa Rehurick, and her site again, miss-simplicity.com. And remind us again the webinar that's coming up this Thursday.
Yep.
On November, what's the date here?
November 15th.
15th, exactly.
Yes, it's at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and the website is holidaysanitywebinar.com. And it's a one-hour free webinar on how to help you plan to stay sane during the holidays and stress-free.
Very good. And so, Lisa, one last question. How do you think you've changed the most by helping other people change?
Oh, it's just so much more empowering and enlightening to help other people versus just doing something for yourself. And I am grateful every day for that opportunity.
Wonderful. Very good. Well, thanks for joining us here on Circles of Change.
Thank you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.